You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This was the week in 1966 when Michigan was swept by UFO fever. It all started with a sighting over a farm in Dexter, and it wasn't long before the venerable Walter Cronkite himself was anchoring a CBS report, UFO, Friend, Foe, or Fantasy.
Good evening. Reports of flying saucers are nothing new. From the beginning of recorded time, men have been seeing unexplainable things in the sky. And there's no reason to doubt they saw something. The question is, was what they saw really there? And what was it they really saw? The great flying saucer mystery of 1966 began here, near Dexter, Michigan, late in March.
And that uncorked it. Soon UFO reports were pouring in from one end of the country to the other. Harry Wilness was teaching in Southeast Michigan in the 1960s, and Harry's been investigating UFO sightings for some 60 years with us now. Welcome, Harry.
Thank you.
I was in junior high school at the time, at the risk of dating myself, but I so well remember that everybody had UFO fever 51 years ago right now. And so it wasn't just here in Michigan, was it?
No, actually, this was a widespread phenomenon over a number of states, and it went on for quite some time. This was not just one event that happened in Dexter, but days and weeks before that, and it continued for days and weeks and actually months after that period.
Well, let's listen to a clip from that CBS report. Here is father of 10, Frank Manor, a farmer from Dexter, and he's describing just what happened when his six dogs began barking the night of March 20th, 1966, and he went out to see what was going on over his swamp.
I looked to the north of me, and there were looked like a fallen star meteor. It was red and kind of coming down, and when it got to the top of the trees, it stopped, and a blue and a white light come on it. And I looked at it, and I thought I was seeing things.
And Harry, this sounds like a very practical man, not one given to flights of fancy, but this flying saucer wasn't a quick here-and-gone thing, was it?
No, it wasn't. When he saw this object, he thought at first, of course, it was a falling star. But when this thing stopped and then came down and hovered above a tree there in the back of his house, swampy area, that really caught his attention.
And it was, what, like over 4 hours? And he wasn't the only one to see it, right?
No, this was quite an event. Actually, that night, there were a group of townies which gathered. This did take place over some 4 hours. This object or objects would come and go. And what really caught his attention was that this thing drifted on down and appeared to land in the swamp. And then that's when he got his son, Ron, and decided they were going to go in and have a look. I believe that the mother was told to call the Washtenaw County Sheriff. And eventually that night, there were six squad cars with 12 or 13 deputies and actually three detectives who showed up over this 4 or 5 hour time period to take an observation of what this thing was.
And they saw it.
They saw it at various times. Again, this thing would come and go. When Frank did wander into the swamp, if you read the police report, which I got a copy of, which was written by deputies Fitzpatrick and McFadden, they were at one end of the swamp, and when this thing took off, it's actually in the police report, they said it sounded like a rifle shot in a canyon. There was also reports of this thing sounding like an ambulance siren.
But sadly, there were no such things as cameras on smartphones so people could snap pictures, right? Because nobody got a picture of what happened that night?
Deputy McFadden, I believe, did take some pictures. But taking pictures at night, even nowadays, what you basically just get are blurbs of light.
And so the Air Force got involved with this too, didn't it?
They sure did. For some reason, this was picked up by the newspapers. There were many other reports and sightings which were probably far better than this. But this raised so much of a ruckus that the Air Force, Project Blue Book, they did investigate UFOs until 1969, and they sent their top front man, that's Dr. Alan Hynek, who I got to know very well over time after this. They sent him to Dexter and to Hillsdale. There was another report the following night, of course, in Hillsdale. They sent him here to track down exactly what was happening and said, why don't you also hold a press conference? Let's explain what this was.
And so what was the explanation?
Well, this is very interesting. Hynek was taken by Washtenaw County Sheriff, that's Doug Harvey, who I also interviewed, He was taken out to the manor farm. He put some boots on, sloshed around in the swamp. On the way back to the office, Hynek admitted to the sheriff. He said, you know, I don't know what people saw. And something very interesting happened after that. Very few people know this. After they were in the office, Hynek got a call from Washington, and I asked Doug Harvey, how do you know it was from Washington? He said, because the dispatcher stepped into the room and said, Dr. Hynek, you've got a call from Washington. Hynek stepped out of the office, took the call, came back in a few minutes later. Harvey described him as looking a bit shooken. He had his head down, and he was mumbling, swamp gas, swamp gas. It was swamp gas. I don't think Hynek knew at that time what swamp gas was. And for your listeners, a lot of people have certainly heard that term.
We have heard the term. What does it mean?
It's a phenomenon that can occur in swampy areas. It can be gaseous substances like methane, which at certain times of the year, under certain conditions, can kind of bubble up. Occasionally, it can ignite and form a bubble and kind of drift off and actually be a lighted structure-like. And this thing can float there for a bit and then maybe just pop out. It can sometimes give crackling or popping noises. And then across a swamp, maybe, there's another one that occurs that might give the appearance of movement.
I'm trying to read between the lines. So when the doctor went in, he was different when he came out after taking that phone call. Do you think somebody in Washington said, zip it and say it's swamp gas, but there really was something more to it?
I think he was looking for an explanation, and there are a lot of stories out there about how Hynek came up with swamp gas. One was he got this from a U of M chemistry professor. Another story I heard were a group of astronomers met with Hynek the night before the press conference, and they were searching for some kind of an explanation, and maybe that's where it came up. But I think the real story is the one that Doug Harvey, Washtenaw County Sheriff, told me about how Hynek took that phone call from Washington.
His changed demeanor.
His changed demeanor, correct.
And I know even Michigan Congressman, then Michigan Congressman Gerald Ford, kind of weighed in on all of this. So Congress was involved as well?
Well, after the press conference held at the Detroit Press Club, again, this was picked up by the newspapers. Hynek, again, at this press conference, he was a man on the spot. He needed some kind of an explanation. He said he was literally invaded by hordes of reporters, people crowding around, shouting questions. They were looking for little green men, he said. And, of course, they didn't get that. He needed something, and he lashed onto the swamp gas. But he did say over and over, I cannot prove this in a court of law. This may not be the explanation, but it's a possibility. He needed something because the press was in such an uproar. This was in virtually every newspaper in the country.
How long did this last, and when did it kind of die down?
I can't say for certain, but I know that this went on for some weeks after. The 1960s were a great time for UFO reports. So this went on for a period of time.
1966, NASA was winding up the Gemini program, and it was ramping up the Apollo program and working its way to that moonshot that we saw 3 years later. Could some of this be chalked up to space fever?
At that time, no, I really don't think so. Some of these reports, there were far better reports than what took place at the Frank Manor Farm. One report, a Washtenaw County sheriff had a UFO hovering 75 feet over his car. He said it knocked out his radio. He had radio problems. So no, this wasn't space junk or the space program.
What do you think?
Oh, I think I've been studying this again for some 60 years. I'm convinced that planet Earth is being observed. The present figures are that about every 3 minutes somewhere in the world, a UFO is seen. Most go unreported, but they are seen very frequently. And I tell people, if you don't believe in this stuff, fine. But ask your 10 best friends this question. Hey, have you ever seen a UFO? Have you had some kind of an experience that you couldn't quite figure out what it was? And you'll find that one of your friends, on average, is going to say, you know, I have seen something. And then you got to be a good listener. Don't make a smart remark like, what were you drinking or what were you smoking that night? What you've got to do is be serious about it and ask them to share the story with you.
Why do you think, as you say, if there's one every 3 minutes, why aren't we talking about it now? You saw how, for example, the clown sightings swept everywhere, the crazy clown sightings last year. Why are we not buzzing about it in 2017 the way that America was in 1966?
You know, we've really been conditioned to this. You can thank our U.S. government for this because there's been a long history of debunking. In other words, the government did not want to deal with this. They did not want reports like this coming in consistently.
And why not?
Well, people have studied this, and part of the problem would be that if it did come out that Earth was being watched, that we were, in effect, being looked at by other intelligences, there would be some serious ramifications. One thing would be the energy factor, and maybe they've got some kind of energy that would really help us. You can imagine that maybe big coal or oil or other energy producers might not want this to come out because it might really infringe on their business. Another thing, there might be panic. Some people just could not accept this. I'm wondering what certain religions would do to actually have to admit that, yes, there are intelligences. They may have a problem.
Now, in all of your decades studying this, have you ever laid eyes on a UFO?
I've actually had one sighting, and it was a daylight affair, but it was very, very high. It moved very quickly across the sky. It was on a Tuesday night about 7 o'clock. We used to play basketball at my house. My back was bothering me. I went over on the grass and laid out just to stretch my back out. I never would have seen this otherwise. Clear blue sky. I looked straight up, and this object was, my sense was it was much higher than a plane, but it was moving 6 to 8 times as fast as a jet would move across the sky. That's my only sighting, but I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of other people who have had far better sightings than that.
Well, years worth of work, and when we all think about what was going on that started in Dexter, Michigan in 1966, it is fascinating. Harry Wilness, UFO investigator and retired teacher. Thank you so much for being with us, Harry.
Thank you.